And welcome to the Reader's Quadrant, an Empyrean podcast. I'm Kelsey.
And I'm Samantha. We are doing a chapter-by-chapter reread and analysis of the Empyrean book series written by Rebecca Yarros. Today we will be discussing chapter 15 of Fourth Wing. We do swear, and we are not spoiler-free.
So this week's battle brief is, well, brief. So Rebecca Yarros attended Emerald City Con in Seattle, where she did, she was on a panel. And so there were some questions brought up about Empyrean number 3. She confirmed that she has barely started writing it, which I think should come as a surprise to nobody.
Yeah, she just started that the beginning of the year?
Beginning of January.
Yeah. If she was, like, far into it, I would question a lot of things.
It wouldn't be good.
No.
That's for sure. But the exciting news is that she also pretty much confirmed that we're going to be getting some info or some more background info about Violet's parentage.
Yay!
In this next
Maybe Mr. Sorengale will finally get a name.
Papa Sorengale.
Papa, can you hear me?
Well, it's just, you just know that with the way that she hasn't been discussing it at all in these first two books, you know it has to be fairly important. Like, she's keeping it on the DL for a reason.
Yeah, it's gotta be close to vest. And, like, I haven't finished the new one yet, but I imagine, like, with in the Akatar series, why Rhysand's last name has never been said. I imagine it has something to do with Crescent City or Throne of Glass. But it's probably something like that.
I haven't finished the most recent Crescent City, so I couldn't tell you. It's still sitting half finished on my coffee table.
Yeah, I read the preface chapter and then stopped to go do Throne of Glass. And then Crown of Midnight's been sitting on my desk here for like a week and a half, 2 weeks. So that's where I'm at.
secondly, it was just announced today by Audible that Zayden's bonus chapters from the special edition of Fourth Wing are now both available in audiobook form. So I think if you bought the original Fourth Wing book with your credit on Audible, you'll now have access to those two chapters. So that's cool.
Yeah. Did it say if you have to like re-download it or something? I thought the thing you sent me said something about that.
Re-download this title to listen to the extended version featuring two new chapters from Zayden's point of view.
That's right. So make sure you re-download it if you want to get those.
And then thirdly, this was so funny. We just had to include it in this. So at the Comic-Con panel that Rebecca Yarros was doing, her teenager, who's 16, was sitting in the back row, and so she posted on her Instagram story, when your Comic-Con panel starts discussing steamy scenes and you get this text from your teenager in the back row, and it's a text of a notification on her phone, a text from her kid saying, I'm too young for this.
I feel like any of us would have that reaction at 16 with our parent.
This just begs the question, because Sam and I were discussing this, and it's like, how would you feel if the way that your mother earned her living was writing smut, and everyone knew it, I mean, high school kids are ruthless.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, especially because I feel like they have more of a regular lifestyle, so they're probably in with everybody.
Yeah, I mean, as far as I know, nobody even publicly knows their names. Which is good for Rebecca and her husband for keeping that private.
Yeah, because even on her screenshot with the notification from her son, she blocked out his first name. Although I will say, I don't think Yarros is that common of a name, so I don't think it would be that hard to figure out.
Yeah, and there are some creepy people in the world. But I mean, they're doing what they can.
I mean, like, if you were, like, at school with one of her kids or something.
Oh, yeah, you'd for sure know. And that's what you would saying. I think I would die of embarrassment. Because you know that at some point these kids are going to be walking down a hallway and someone's going to recite, like, something from, like, the throne scene or something like that. that.
Could you imagine, too, like, when Fourth Wing first came out, like, everybody in his school probably is, like, carrying it around and reading it?
Yeah. Wild. That would be crazy. But I would like to know what our listeners think. Like, how do you think you'd react if your mother was writing something like this and you were that age? Like, you're not the age that you are now, a grown adult who would probably not care. But you were, like, 15, 16, in that angsty teenager phase. How would you react? What would you do?
Yeah. Oh, boy.
To be young.
Yeah, I miss those days. When I was that age, Twilight was the thing.
So I was
just
16.
To date myself.
I was 16 in 2010. I don't even know. Hunger Games.
Yeah,
last Harry Potter
right.
movie.
I was 16 in 2005. So, it's been a while.
And that's all for the battle brief. Pretty quiet week.
Yeah. But that's okay, because our lives have not been. So, moving on to recap. Last time on Fourth Wing, we finally meet Tarn! Yay! Pew, 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 pew! Dragons!
Honestly,
finally!
Thank God.
Right? Violet kicks some serious ass, beating Tynan and Oren single-handedly. Jack, yes, but he also just ran away, so I don't know if I count that as beating.
You know what? She made him run away, so
true.
I count that as a win.
She did fuck his shoulder up, too. I'm surprised he still got a dragon, honestly, after fucking his shoulder up.
At least, who knows what's going on with Bade, honestly? That dragon's messed up.
He is. I think Tarn says that like later, like, that dude's messed up. So we get the first silver one of the book. And Violet thinks that Zayden tried to intervene to save her, even though it's against the rules. And she is super confused. And then she gets chosen by Tarn, hops up on his back, he takes off, and she promptly falls off.
And importantly, as she's trying to climb up Tarn, he lowers himself for her, which evidently is not common for dragons to do.
No, as we will kind of see in this first part, they usually don't give a fuck and aren't going to help you at all. So, yeah, we ended the last time with Violet just falling through the sky. So we start chapter 15 with a quote from the Book of Brennan. And it says, "Just because you survive threshing doesn't mean you'll survive the ride to the flight field. Being chosen isn't the only test. And if you can't hold your seat, then you'll fly straight into the ground."
And this is funny from what we know of Violet, quote unquote, holding her seat for literally the rest of the time that she is a rider.
Yeah, I mean, that gets brought up time and time and time again that she can't hold her seat. Like a Dothraki, if you fall off, you're just dead.
True. Apt comparison.
If you can't ride your horse, you're not a Dothraki. And that's from page 50 of the Book of Brennan. I tried kind of looking up to see where that is in the Book of Brennan. It looks like the furthest page that we have from that is page 96. So it's about halfway through, if that is the quote unquote last page. I don't know what the last page is. I'm assuming we'll get more of the Book of Brennan in book 3. But that's where we're at so far with that book. So Violet's falling and she's thinking she's going to die. And then all of a sudden she gets clamped. She gets caught. Tarn catches her and she kind of has that whiplash. And thank God her name isn't Gwen.
Spider-Man. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a reference for you. And then Tarn's reaction, I think, is just really funny. He's like, "You're making us look bad. Stop it."
And this is already the second time he's told her to stop it because she was bleeding, and he was like, "Stop that."
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, he's so curmudgeonly.
He is. Although, like, Violet's shocked that he caught her, first of all, because as we know, like, 99.9% of the time, the dragon's not going to catch you at this point. And yet she still gives him sass.
Ugh, I love their relationship.
It's pretty great. So then he kind of tries her. He helps her get back on his back. Violet remembers from Professor Kaori's lesson that he hadn't agreed to bond this year, and also that Tarn hadn't had a rider or even been seen in the last 5 years because his rider died in the Tirish Rebellion, which we know is Nalan.
Honestly, it annoys me that we have Nalan and we have Nolan.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's stuff like that in Game of Thrones. That's why they changed Theon's sister's name in the show. Her name was very similar to that wildling woman. Not the Jon Snow one. The Tonks one. I don't remember the actress's name now.
It starts with the letter O, the name of the wildling woman.
Oh, it was like Osha, O-S-H-A. And in the book, his sister's name is Asha. And so they apparently thought that the names were too similar for the show, even though I don't think they're like ever even alive at the same time. But they changed Theon's sister's name to Yara in the show.
I wonder if that's something they would do with this book, because on paper Nalan and Nolan look very different,
mm-hmm.
but they sound very similar.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, if they were to change one, I would imagine they would change Nalan's, since you never actually see him, he's only referenced.
But I mean, there is that theory that he is the Venon King.
True.
So I guess it depends on later books who is more important. I mean, Rebecca Yarros would be able to tell them.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. It also just depends on how much she decides to inform them to, you know, change things later. Although, that doesn't always matter, apparently, because I guess, you know, like...
J.K. Rowling.
Yeah.
Told them about Creature.
Yep, and then they still wanted to cut him. And I think his role was still like drastically reduced for when he was supposed to be big. So it's literally what it is, because the CG, which I know is already an issue with the Fourth Wing show. So
yeah, we've discussed that at length. How are they going to do it?
Yep. That's why it should be animated. Just my opinion. Anywho, Tarn yells at Violet to get in the seat and to hold on. So he's like, because no one is going to believe that I've actually chosen you.
Yeah.
She still can't believe it. They bicker a bit. And then she is struggling to basically hold on with her knees. Because that's a big thing, is they have to push their knees together to help hold themselves on. And she comments that she's not as strong as the others. And Tarns then says, "I know exactly who and what you are, Violet Sorengale."
Oh, you know, I just love him. And this also goes back to Iron Flame, ties to that, how Andarna says that the dragons have been talking about her.
Yes. Yes. And that's... I mean, I was going to bring it up a bit later, but Tarn about a page or two, says that his reason for choosing Violet was because he saved Andarna. But then he also has this line that we just did, which kind of makes me wonder, like you just said, is it related to kind of like how Andarna decided to hatch basically just for Violet? Like, there's got to be something more that the dragons know about Violet.
Or her dad. Or her dad.
Because, like, the what you are kind of makes me question. Like, is it referring to her disability? Is it referring to something else that she's inheriting?
She is part Venon because of her hair and her mom's illness. I am dying on this hill.
Something's going on there. I mean, it definitely has to be related to the Venon. It's crazy. So, Tarn then, after he says that, decides to do his first accommodation for her, where he uses his magic to hold her in the saddle, basically.
And I had honestly forgot that he did that until I came back to this chapter, because I was so used to her being, like, having the saddle,
mm-hmm.
that I had forgotten that in the beginning he used his magic for that.
And he does it for a long time. Like, she makes him not use it.
Well, yeah, because they go through, like, a whole bunch of training before Zayden puts that saddle together.
Yeah. So she then apologizes and says that she didn't think she'd make it this far. And then Tarn said something that I think is kind of meaningful. Because he says, I didn't think I would either, so we have that in common. So I kind of view that as twofold. He didn't think he would get to the point where he would want to bond anyone. And also maybe just being alive. Like, he just went through a massive war. He has scars all over his wings. Like, he's been through shit. And so it kind of makes me wonder if he didn't think he would get to the point to even, like, be able to bond again. Or at all.
Well, emotionally, I think he takes these things very hard. He bonds and he is, like, deep, deep, deep.
Yeah. He hides it well, but he's a very emotional person. Not person. Dragon. Personality.
Yeah, there you go.
So this is kind of where I was talking about, where we see what the other dragons are doing. So Violet's looking out and she sees other dragons in the air with a bunch of colors and things. And she notes that each dragon is putting their rider through a trial of dips and turns. And they're also just letting their riders fall to the ground. Because she watches someone fall from a dragon. And she notes that they don't catch them and they just fall to their death.
And in our weekly game of would Kelsey survive this portion of the Riders Quadrant, the answer is no. Because I don't think I have that much thigh strength to grip onto a dragon.
Yeah. I mean, there is the pommel too. But yeah. Yeah,
I don't know that would help. I also get sick when I fly, so you might just see me vomiting off the side of my dragon.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
How did you do that going to Paris then? That's a long flight.
I threw up multiple times. This happens to me every single time I fly.
Oh no. Sad day.
I have to sit in my seat and just, like, close my eyes. Look forward. Mm-hmm. I can't look out the window. I can't watch a movie. I can't do anything. I just have to sit there and breathe.
That sounds like the worst. Can you listen to things at least? Like, does that?
Yeah, I can. But I mean, for the most part, it's just, okay, in, out, in, out. And then using my little vomit bag.
I would just ask to sit on the end, like, whoever's, like, on the end, like, can I please sit on the end, because I'm going to puke a lot.
Oh, I pick the aisle seat every time.
Oh, you get to pick? I never get to pick.
I'm really fun to fly with.
It's okay. So flying
to Japan should be real fun.
Oh, when are you going?
August 2025.
Ooh, yeah, that's a long flight. I've done that flight.
I mean, I've gone to Korea when I was younger.
Oh, so yeah, it's a similar than flight. Because for me, it was a bit longer because we went from Chicago to Minneapolis.
And yeah, I went Minneapolis to Tokyo.
Yeah, that's what we did. Yeah.
With Delta?
Yes.
Yeah.
We landed in the Narita airport.
Yep.
Yep, that one.
That's what I did too. And then I went from there to Busan in South Korea for school. Okay.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I've never been to South Korea. Japan is the only other country I have been to, period.
I'm excited. It's a father-daughter trip.
Aw, that'll be fun. I need to go to Canada. I would like to.
Anyways.
So Violet's watching that, and she's telling herself that the person who fell is nobody she knows, that she's just telling herself they're all safe, and they're bonded, and they're waiting. And then Tarn tells her, we're going to have to put on a show. And she says, awesome. I imagine exactly that tone. But Tarn tells her, you will not fall. I will not allow it. You will trust me. And
would that make you trust someone if they were like, you will trust me?
If it's a giant fucking dragon that I'm already sitting on, yes.
And they've already saved your life, I guess.
If he's already saved her life, and she's already felt like the basic magical straps. Sure, we'll go with straps around her legs, like holding her on. So like, I think at this point he kind of like doubles it down a little bit because she says that she feels the energy pulse. So I think he kind of like doubles down on it. But yeah, I think I would trust him. Especially since she says it's not a question, it's an order. So. and plus, remember, she just watched him burn Tuna in this last chapter. And yes, I'm going to call him Tuna forever, because that just still cracks me up. Also, I think of Jim Halpert. So, oh wait, you didn't really watch The Office, did you? Okay, so you know how Andy calls Jim Tuna. Yeah, Big Tuna. So, anyway, Tarn does a bunch of acrobatics. He kind of does some, he flies around a bit, and then he does a spiral towards the ground. And then he dives straight back up, basically. And then she gets excited. And she finds the flight exhilarating when she's not worried about dying.
She's an adrenaline junkie. Like, I swear to God.
She kind of is. Yeah. And then Tarn's like, okay, we're good now. And then she asks him again why he chose her. And he says it's because she saved Andarna. And then she tries to argue again. She's very argumentative with Tarn at this point. And tries to tell him what dragons should value. And he's like, please, do tell me more about what I should value.
Yeah, she's mansplaining right now.
She is mansplaining. Oh, man. They don't really continue that conversation, though, because then they get to where they can see the training field, which is where they did presentation. It's the same place. And she sees that there are hundreds of dragons there because there's a whole bunch of spectators and other riders who have come to watch threshing. And she notes that they are in two lines. And Tarn tells her that it's because they are divided between those who are still like in active duty, but chose in years past. And then there's the ones who chose today. And then he says, we are the 71st Bond to enter the fields.
So that means that there are 30 dragons left, because we know that there were 100.
Yes. And also 76 unbonded or dead cadets. Because there were, at the beginning of threshing, 147. I did the math earlier, and by doing the math, I mean I got out the calculator and put it in. Because I'm not an accountant like Kelsey. So I use
my abacus.
You what?
I use my abacus.
Oh, there you go. Yes. Those are fun.
The beads back and forth.
So I decided, since this is kind of a short chapter, and it's, he notes it specifically, to look up if there is any particular meaning behind the number 71. Because, you know, most books, authors choose things on purpose, and it's kind of just a weird random number. So it turns out 71 has multiple meanings. So if you look at the spiritual enlightenment, 71 can symbolize spiritual enlightenment and encourage people to pursue their own spiritual growth. It can also signify the development of spiritual abilities and awareness. Which kind of makes sense, because since now she's bonded, she's going to be developing, she gets magic now. She kind of is going to be learning about herself in a way, because Tarn's going to be in her head all the time. So she's kind of got to figure out how to sort all that out. So I just thought that was interesting. Seeing that number repeatedly can mean that a person is on a path of self-discovery and will soon discover their life's purpose. So if you happen to see the number 71 a lot, pay attention, I guess. In math, it is, I didn't look up how to pronounce it, 71 is an IMIRP, and a permutable prime number, because both rearrangements of its digits, 17 and 71, are prime numbers.
Huh. Can't be divided by anything.
Nope. I don't think so.
And neither can Tarn and Darna and Violet.
That's true. Unless your theory fucking pans out, which I hope it doesn't.
I swear, you just know that all three of them are not making out of this alive.
No.
So you just know it.
No, I don't. I refuse. I've got two more. There's something called an angel number. Some say 71 is an angel number that signifies that angels are asking someone to maintain on the path of expanding their consciousness and spirituality. And apparently also in the Bible, 71 can be interpreted as a symbol of spiritual enlightenment and an encouragement to pursue one's own spiritual growth again. So basically what all this means is it's all about spirituality and self-discovery, which, again, makes sense for Violet, especially because the Violet we meet in the beginning of this book and the Violet we meet at, or that we see at the end of this book, are two very different Violets.
Yes.
So I just think that's interesting. So then they, as they're coming up over to these hundreds of dragons, and Violet notes that her mother is going to be there. She thinks that her mom's not going to pay any attention to her, which is sad, especially given that we know how much Lilith does care about her children. I think she would, mentally, she's, you know, obviously paying a lot more attention to Violet than Violet thinks she is.
Yes, I think she's probably watching for her.
Oh, 100%.
Pretending that she's not watching for her.
Yeah. She keeps up her walls all the time.
To protect Violet, mainly.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's not good mentally for either of them.
No. And I know we reference it a lot, but it kind of reminds me of, like, in, oh my god, why can't I think of what it's called now? The fifth Harry Potter book. The fuck
Order
is it?
Order of the Phoenix.
Thank you. When
Dumbledore and Harry.
Yeah. When he kind of closes himself off from Harry, and that also causes problems. And it's kind of a similar thing, I feel like.
Adults making bad choices.
Yep.
The miscommunication trope is one of my least favorite tropes.
I hate it so much.
I'm like, just talk to each other. This is why I struggled so much with Iron Flame.
Yeah. Fucking Zayden. So she hears a ferocious roar of celebration, as my son would say, roar. He literally does it all the time, and it's really cute.
Or a 2012 teenager, roar. Like R A W R.
Oh yeah.
Roar. As they hold their index finger, which they have drawn a mustache on up to their lips. If you went to high school in the like late noughties, early 2010s, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I was not in high school then. So that's why I'm like, sure. A little bit. And she notes that it's because the dragons are kind of showing deference to Tarn. They even make an area for him to land. They move out of his way. And then he hovers for a bit and she sees Andarna flying furiously to catch up, which to me is just the cutest little thing. I'm just imagining like her wings just like going so fast and she's like, oh my god, I'm trying.
But this just makes me so sad about her wings and Iron Flame.
I know. Poor Andarna. I bet they're going to figure out some way to fix her. I hope, anyway. So, and then... Sorry. Violet decides to say that Tarn is the most celebrated dragon in the Vale, and I'm the most unlikely rider in the quadrant. Like, she basically thinks that they are complete opposites. And
yeah. Yeah, and so she's thinking this, and then Tarn says to her in her head, you are the smartest of your year, the most cunning. And so Violet thinks again, oh, I was trained as a scribe, not as a rider, like, oh no. And then Tarn says, you defended the smalls with ferocity, and strength of courage is more important than physical strength, since you apparently need to know before we land. And so from this, Violet realizes that she hadn't spoken those words out loud, she'd only thought them. And now she knows that Tarn can read her thoughts. And she says, so much for privacy.
You'll never be alone again. I can't tell if he's reading that as like a threatening way or just like in a like a laughy kind of, you know what I mean? Like he just finds it kind of funny.
I would find this incredibly invasive. You can't have a single thought to yourself.
Yeah.
Although I do like Violet's line, that sounds more like a threat than a comfort. I agree.
Yeah.
So Andarna catches up to them into the middle, very middle of the field. And so Violet sits up tall in her seat and she lets go of the pommel thingy. And she says to Tarn, like, see? I can hang on just fine when you're not moving. So Tarn starts to like kind of lecture Violet on what she needs to do next. Like, oh, you need to dismount and then tell the role keeper. Violet's like, yeah, okay, I know what to do. So kind of like, leave me alone. But, and then she knows that there's no healers allowed on the flight field, which is kind of crazy to me. Is that just like... Why? Why do you think that is?
Because they're still all about, you know, if you're going to do it, you do it. And if you die, you die. If he dies, he dies.
So Violet's like angling herself, trying to like mentally prepare herself to jump off of Tarn because we know that he's freaking huge. And this is going to be a fall and a half onto like a broken ankle. And she notices that there's a sound from the slopes that reminds her of muttering. And she's like, if dragons mutter. And Tarn's like, they do. And they are. Just like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because he moved his leg out for her again. So that's why they started muttering. They're just like, oh my god. Look what Tarn's doing.
But like, it's like Regina George. They can't say anything to his face because he's the queen bee. So they have to mutter. Then they mutter and they whisper. But it's just funny that he's like, they do and they are.
They can call me Queen Bee, but baby, I'll rule.
Okay. So Violet slides down. His leg, she tries to take the brunt of the fall with her good leg. And she hit the ground. And Tarn says, well, that's one way to do it. Like, he's so sassy. Violet is so relieved. She's so relieved that she's alive, and she has the realization that she's not a cadet anymore, she's a rider. So she went from candidate to cadet to rider.
Yep.
Good for her.
Yeah. Especially and, for her, like, A,
yeah,
only having 6 months worth of training, not wanting to go into this at all, and she has a physical disability.
Yes. And so Violet then turns to Andarna and says that she's glad that she made it. And then she's like, maybe you should fly off next time someone suggests that you save yourself. Eh? And I, that's just so funny to me because that, knowing Andarna, that is not at all what she does. She, in fact, does the opposite every time.
Could you imagine saying that to teenage Andarna?
You could try. But then, in an incredible moment, Violet hears in her head, maybe I was saving you. And her voice is higher and sweeter in Violet's mind. And now, in celebration of the bloopers of last episode of Sam trying to do Tarn's voice, I would like her to try and do Andarna's voice here.
Okay. Give me a second here. I can't do a high voice. Maybe I was saving you.
That's so cute.
Because I'm Betty Boop and I'm a little child. So maybe I was saving you, Violet.
Okay, now it's getting a little weird.
I'll stop now.
It's a little Umbridge-esque.
Oh, God.
So... here we learn from Violet that dragons aren't supposed to mind speak with anyone except for the rider that they're bonded to. Which I don't think we knew before, did we?
I think it was mentioned before Tarn spoke to her. So I think we talked about it because she was shocked that he, you know, she was a little surprised that he spoke to her because they only talk to people that they're bonded to.
But I didn't know that it was, like, a rule. I thought maybe that was just, like, dragon arrogance that they thought it was. Oh,
maybe. I also like how she calls her Goldie here. I wish that that had gotten brought back.
It's the opposite of what Tarn calls her. Silver One. Silver One, Goldie.
Yeah. Silver and gold again.
Yep. Silver and gold.
Silver and gold.
Yeah, because she says, from what I hear, dragons are pretty strict about breaking that rule. So that it's just a dragon imposed. Rule. So at this point, Violet should realize that she has bonded two dragons, but she doesn't, obviously, because when has that ever happened before?
Yeah, and also she knows that Andarna, like, she could tell she's young. I think she may not realize that she's like a baby, but she knows that she's young, so I think she just thinks that she's just breaking the rules because she doesn't know.
Yeah, so it's at this point. Yeah, go ahead.
I'll just say, just because of the didn't anyone tell you part, like,
yeah,
I think she knows.
So it's at this point that other riders start realizing that Violet has bonded Tarn, and she gets to be all like, yeah, I know, he's mine, what up? And I think she's really pleased with herself.
Hell yeah. Who wouldn't be, though, honestly? Like, yeah, I just got the biggest, baddest dragon that no one thought was even going to bond, so whatevs.
And everyone was counting me out from the very beginning, but, you know, I bonded the best dragon, so...
So, fuck all y'all.
So, as dusk falls, Violet looks and she sees where the redhead from the parapet is recording Roll, and then behind her sits Violet's mother, dressed in all of her medals and military clothing. And Violet says, lest anyone forget exactly who she is.
I don't like that. I mean, this is an important thing. It's a ceremony.
I think it's just the uniform. Yeah, I think it's just the uniform that you have to wear.
Like. Yeah, it's just her military dress clothes. You know, all military officers have dress clothes, and these are her dress clothes.
If I am in the military and I earn medals, you bet your ass I am wearing those medals at any point that I possibly can.
Like. They all do. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't like Violet's assessment of her mom wearing her dress clothes.
No. But I also don't blame her for her assessment, because her mom has been nothing but what Violet has perceived to be as very cold to her almost her entire life. So I don't blame her for her assessment. I just think she doesn't understand much about her mother at this point.
Yeah.
So we learn that Melgren is also there, and he is openly assessing Tarn. And this has to be because his dragon's Kodos, so he's like, what the F?
I wonder if he views Violet as almost a threat to himself there, because Tarn is second only to Kodos.
I wonder if he's talking to Kodos right now, being like, what is...
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Because Violet says there's nothing but cold calculation in those eyes. So,
because he's thinking about how to use them.
Yeah. Violet moves towards the World Keeper, and her mother rises as she moves towards there. Just at that moment, Professor Kiori jumps off the platform to her left and is just like gaping at Tarn. And I think that's so cute because Kiori loves dragons so much.
He does. I just had a thought too, sorry to go back a little bit, with Melgren having the cold calculation, like looking at them. Do you think he's using his signet to kind of like
see I was just thinking that too. Because he can see the outcome of battles. But I don't know. Yeah, I think he's probably trying to use it. Trying to see how this benefits him.
Yeah.
So yeah, everyone's ogling Tarn. Commandant Panchak is like, is that really? And then Lilith says, don't say it. Not until she does. And then Violet says, because only Ryder and the Role Keeper know a dragon's full name. And she's not certain I'm really his. That's exactly what she's implying. I don't think that's what she's implying.
I don't think so either.
I think she's really impressed right now. And she wants everyone else to know that this is Violet's dragon.
Yeah, she wants Violet to prove it to them. Yes, this is my dragon. Because they are going to be... They're the ones who are going to think that somehow she hijacked Tarn, as she says, or
yeah, like people she's like Jack, or
that something.
And what's her face? Amber? Like those people.
Yes. Yeah. She needs to do it to prove to everybody else.
Yeah. And so Violet thinks, oh, my mom forced me into the Riders Quadrant. She didn't care if I lived or died, which we know is blatantly false because she made deal with Zayden.
Yeah.
Saying completely otherwise.
Yeah. And I bet if it wouldn't have been so obvious, she would have gotten rid of that storm at Parapet.
Yeah. And Violet says, and now she's staring at my dragon without even bothering to look down and see if I'm all right. I just don't think this is true.
No.
Like,
I guarantee you she has already glanced at Violet and knows everything because she is very observant. She has to be at her position. She already knows Violet's injured, that her ankle is fucked, that she's been... She knows all of that just by looking at her because she's her daughter. She knows her. Like, she can tell how she's moving.
I'm pretty sure she knows that she can't do anything about it because that would look worse, not for her, but for Violet. If she did something about that, about Violet being injured.
Exactly. And she knows that Violet's already a target amongst her classmates, just for virtue of being her daughter. She doesn't want to add to it by giving her any favoritism or anything. So yeah. She goes the complete opposite, which isn't great either.
No, it's equally bad. I'm not pretending any different. It's equally bad. I think they're both doing things to each other right now that are not great. They're assuming things about each other that are not ideal. And if they could just talk.
Yeah. So Rebecca Yarros does a great job, though, of setting us up with Lilith. Like this whole book, she sets us up with her.
Yeah.
And then just turns it all on its head in Iron Flame.
Yeah, so Violet steps up to the Role Keeper, who says, please tell me the name of the dragon who chose you. And so Violet lifts her chin and says, Tarnianak. And Tarn says, pronunciation could use some work. And she's like, hey, at least I remember. And he says, at least I didn't let you fall to your death. and then the Role Keeper says, I can't believe he bonded Violet. He's a legend. And then just at that moment, another voice comes into Violet's head and says, Andonaram. Andona, for short. And Violet is like, what the fuck is going on? And she says out loud, excuse me, because Andarna is standing between Tarn's front legs, which, I mean, how freaking cute. They're like, so, how freaking cute.
They're just always so cute. Like, there's this, and then, like, him tucking her under his wing at the field. It was just, he's such a daddy. So I mean that in, like, the sweet daddy, not, like, the sexy kind of daddy. I want to clarify.
So the role keeper looks at Violet and she's like, are you all right? Because Violet has just said excuse me out loud to, like, nobody in particular. And Andarna's like, tell her. Violet's like, Tarn, I don't know what to do. And he's like, yeah, tell the role keeper her name. And so Violet turns back to the woman, clears her throat and says, and Andarnarum. And the role keeper's like, both dragons? She nods, and all hell breaks loose. And thus marks the end of the chapter. Another great one.
Yeah, I just imagine all hell breaking loose, just like every, like, typical thing where everybody just starts, like, shouting and talking. You know what I'm saying?
I imagine it like you're watching a movie, right? And the main character's making a speech, and then it gets quieter and quieter, and you can just, like, you can hear the hum of the people getting louder and louder in the background, but they're, like, out of focus, so you can't see them, but you can hear just, like, unintelligible voices shouting, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they would have described Violet's mother's face at that moment.
Oh, yeah. I bet if Violet could have seen her mother at that point, she would actually be beaming with pride.
I think her mouth would be open, like, in shock, but then she would be, like, so proud. Or she might be worried. Like, this puts a huge target on her daughter's back.
Yeah. I think it would be all of this. I think you're right. It would be the mouth dropping, but, like, you know, like, the smile mouth drop? You know what I'm talking about? I think it'd be like that, where you're just, like, your jaws drop, but, like, you're also, like, smiling at the same time. Yeah, she would have all the things going on.
Yeah. Anyways, so now we have Tarn and Andarna commentary going on. Gotta love it. Like, can't wait. Can't wait to get into chapter 16 next week, which of course means extra bonus episode for everyone, because we will be getting Zayden's POV as well for chapter 16. Very excited. So this past week, not sure if you guys could hear it in my voice, but I've been sick. And you may be thinking to yourself, Kelsey, you get sick a lot. That is in fact true. I do get sick a lot.
Yeah.
So I have kind of like immune system issues, let's just put it that way. And so anything that goes around, I get. So it's not great, but you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
So I've been entertaining myself by, I actually finally started a new book. It's called The Long Way to a Small Angry Planet by Becky Chambers, and it's sci-fi, literally about space, which is so not my regular read, but I have to say, I am loving this book.
So
it is really good.
I forgot that that was the name of your book, and I saw that in the script, and I was like, what the fuck is she talking about?
Yeah, I just rose a long way to a small angry planet and literally nothing else, so I can see why you'd be confused. I didn't put by Becky Chambers. I just,
no, just so I'm like, is there something going on with Mars? Is she referring to, does she have like a zit somewhere? Like, what is this? I don't understand.
No, it's a book about space and this crew on a spaceship, and they're all different species of aliens, and it's like, it's like found family, and it's just nice. It's just a nice book to read. I don't know. I'm about a third of the way through, and I'm really enjoying it, which is nice because it's a completely different genre than I normally read.
Yeah, I haven't read sci-fi in a super long time.
And this is sci-fi written by a woman, so wild.
Yeah. The one I read was by a man. I think the last one I read which was like when I was in high school. I read The Ark by Ben Bova. And that was really good, actually. I'm always like on the look for it, and I can never find it again anywhere.
Speaking of women, happy Women's History Month.
Yes. Everybody.
Happy and Women's International History Month. Women's Day is March 8th. So it'll be done when this episode gets posted. But happy belated International Women's Day to all of our women listeners.
And make sure you watch Deadpool.
Yes, female empowerment and whatnot.
No, there's a. They specifically mention International Women's Day in that movie.
Ah.
In the beginning montage.
Deadpool is from my city.
Ryan Reynolds?
No, Deadpool, the character.
Oh, the character. Interesting. Yeah. I didn't know that. Well, yep. That works that they have a Canadian playing him then. Because I think, isn't Ryan Reynolds Canadian?
He is indeed.
That's what I thought. A lot of work. got a lot at my, well, I started a project at my day job, which is slowly turning into a lot more than it was planned to be. I'm basically taking this other log that was set up in a really stupid way and converting it to being in a sensical way instead of a nonsensical way. But then things just keep getting added to it, and now I'm going to need to pull all of the original documents so I can basically fix what all my predecessors fucked up.
Love when that happens.
Yeah, so basically I work at my State Department of Revenue, and people can, I'm sure this is in all states, people can write in with questions and get an answer. So there's two kinds of things. There's a general interest letter. Or general individual. It's a GIL. Basically, if you ask the question, you can get just like an answer like, yeah, this is what we have in code. Or you can get a private letter ruling, which basically means you can get special rules for yourself and just you.
Interesting.
So I'm basically fixing the log for that, which now I'm going to have to go back and pull like all of the original ones. And by all the original ones, I mean just back to 2016, because we literally have them going back to like the 30s. I have seen, like, the ones where, like, you're afraid to touch them in a file cabinet from, like, the 30s.
Get your gloves out.
Right? So there's that. I have stuff with real estate that I'm working on. I've got my listing. I need to get those listing docs done tonight. We opened the Cat Cafe over the weekend. So that was exciting. We had 105 people on our first day.
Wow.
We were open for 5 hours, so it was a lot. Sunday, we didn't have as many, but that's fine. It's Sunday, and Springfield kind of shuts down on Sundays for some reason. It's dumb. So, yeah, just with that. And I hurt myself on Sunday.
Yeah, we've been having a great week.
Yeah. Basically, I was going after my kid, and in my hurry I tripped and laid it on some rocks on my knees. And I don't mean like gravel rocks, I mean like giant rocks that my previous owner of my house had left because she was obsessed with rocks for some reason. Like they're like the size of my head rocks, you know what I mean, like those kinds of rocks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so my right leg is kind of fucked right now. There's like a huge lump kind of by my right kneecap, and it's not great. I can't walk on it very well still, and this is Tuesday. So we'll see if it gets better. Kelsey thinks I tore something.
From the description, it sounded like you did, but I am not a doctor, as we all know. I am an accountant, so do not trust my medical advice.
No, I'm going to trust it, and if you're wrong, I'm going to come after you.
I don't think you can sue me.
So, yeah, I'm really tired. I've been up to like midnight just working on shit basically for like the last week. And then I'm leaving later this week for a conference. But I'll be dropping the kid off with my folks, and I'm going to have a hotel room to myself for a couple days. So that's going to be nice. I'm excited. And it's in my hometown. So even better.
Exciting. Oh, and in podcast news, we have hit 4,000 listens.
Woo!
Which just, as you all know, brings us one step closer to our 5,000 listen giveaway. So
yay.
As soon as we hit 500, we will make a post about... As soon as we hit 5,000. My bad. As soon as we hit 5,000 listens, we were going to make a post on our Instagram that will detail what we are giving away, as well as how to enter the giveaway. So be sure to follow us on Instagram at Readers Quadrant Podcast so that you're getting all the updates on there about the giveaway. And in the same vein, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review our podcast wherever you're listening to us. And you can email us at readersquadpod@gmail.com if you have any comments or questions or just general inquiries. And join our Discord. A link will be posted on our Instagram.
Yeah, Discord's going good. And I've noticed on Spotify we have 8 reviews and 5.0 stars. So that's exciting. I haven't seen where we're for being rated elsewhere, but at least on Spotify it's going pretty awesome. So add to that if you would like to.
Yes, please.
I like seeing those.
Makes my day.
Or if you do, screenshot it and email it to us. We'd love to see it. If you review us on other places, I know like Apple Podcasts or something, you can write a paragraph and stuff. And so it'd be cool to see. We'd like to see what you have to say about us.
Yeah, also, giving us ratings really helps us become more visible to other people who listen to similar podcasts. So that really helps.
It really does. Also, please let us know if you enjoyed our bonus selections from last time and if you would like us to do more of those. We fuck up probably every episode we do at some point. It just usually gets cut. So if you want to hear our fuck ups more, let us know.
We either fuck up or go on a completely unrelated tangent for 15 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, we're bad about that. We just have fun. We just like to get talk, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Thanks again, everybody. And remember, the right way isn't the only way. Bye.
Bye. We would like to thank Kevin MacLeod for the use of his song, The Pyre, for our intro and outro music.